Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall we stand, please? Praise his holy name. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Don't you love him tonight? How many of you love the Lord? Just see your hand. Well, lift your other hand and tell him you love him. Praise God. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We lift our hands and our voices and our hearts unto you in praise and adoration and thanksgiving for your loving kindnesses and for your tender mercies which thou hast extended toward us even as the sons of men. We love you, we praise you, we magnify your holy name. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your blessings. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, before you're seated, turn and shake hands with somebody and say, I love Jesus. That is, if you do. And then you can sit down. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Praise God. Remember the service in the morning at the 10 o'clock hour, and if you possibly can, come along with us. We're teaching on the subject of faith. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we believe that you'll be blessed by hearing God's Word taught. And then, of course, the service is tomorrow night. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to read again the same scripture I read last night and sort of pick up where I left off last evening and go from there. There's some certain basic truths about God's healing power that I like to get over in every meeting. Now, after we get beyond those, sometimes we don't get beyond those. We just stay with them all the week. But after we get beyond those, then we go to some other related subjects. But here is truth that needs to be shared. And the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, Mark's Gospel, first of all, chapter 5, verse 25, and we shall read down through verse 34. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, or as the margin says, that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And then I want you to turn again to the Acts of the Apostles, and I want us to read the 10th chapter and the 38th verse, and the 19th chapter and the 11th and the 12th verses. First, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Then Acts the 19th chapter, the 11th and 12th verses, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, I'm speaking to you on the tangibility of God's healing power. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the Apostle Paul, revealed and applied the laws that govern the operation of God's healing power. And it demonstrates this, that the healing power of God is a tangible substance, a heavenly materiality. Jesus was anointed with this power by God. Jesus didn't heal the sick by any power that was inherent in him as being the Son of God. He plainly stated in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, the 10th verse, that God did the works. He never did claim to heal anybody. He said, "My Father in me, he doeth the works." Now, the way God healed people through Jesus was by the anointing of healing power that he had placed upon him to minister. And you see, when this woman touched his clothes, that power flowed out of him, and he knew that it went out of him. For he knew immediately within himself that power, the text says, power, what kind of power? Healing power had gone out of him because the power healed the woman. So it was healing power. Now then, God's healing power is a tangible substance. It is a heavenly materiality. You see, Jesus was aware of the outflow. The woman was aware of the reception. The healing, thank God, is a fact. And so God's healing power, let me reiterate it, is a tangible substance, a heavenly materiality. It can be transmitted by the laying on of hands. Jesus used laying on of hands primarily in his ministry. On other occasions, folks touched him like this woman touched his clothes. And then, of course, God worked through Paul, evidently the same way, for this simple reason that the Bible just tells us something God did in both of these instances. Not something Jesus did or not something Paul did, but something that God did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And then the scripture said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Well, now, how do you suppose that happened? Well, both texts tells us that God did something, and we know that God works through men by anointing them with his power and spirit to do whatever he called them to do. And so God anointed Paul to minister like this. And when Paul laid his hands upon those cloths or upon those handkerchiefs, the power that he was anointed with flowed into them and saturated them. And they became storage batteries, so to speak, of healing power. And when they were laid upon the bodies of the sick, they surcharged the body, and healing was the result. Praise God. And whether there were evil spirits involved with causing the sickness and enforcing the sickness, not only did the diseases depart from them, but the evil spirits went out of them. Praise the Lord. And so this healing power of God can be transmitted by the laying on of hands or by a cloth or a handkerchief. But for this simple reason, you know, this woman didn't touch Jesus' person. She just touched his clothes. Just touched his clothes. And the power flowed into her. Jesus was aware of the outflow. The woman was aware of the reception. Now, I read way back over in the Old Testament, and I suppose you read it too, in 2 Kings. The Word of God tells us in the 13th chapter, the 20th and 21st verses, about this fact that there was a prophet there by the name of Elisha, and that this prophet had died and had been buried for over a year, and that there was a young man that had died, and they were carrying this young man out to bury him, and a band of the enemy, they saw a scouting party evidently, for the enemy had invaded the country. And so they looked around for a place real quick to put the body of this young man who had died. And so they just put him in Elisha's sepulchre. And when they did, immediately he revived. Well, now you know this much, that here was a prophet of God in his lifetime that was anointed by God's Spirit to stand in the office of the prophet. Remember, there were two, Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elijah was anointed by the Spirit of God to stand in the office of a prophet. Elisha had a double portion of what Elijah had. Now, that denotes this fact, that though a person is in the same office, both of these were prophets, though both would be in the same office, both would have the same ministry, both would be the same ministry gift, yet one can have a more anointing than the other. Because God's anointing power can be more or less. No, Elisha didn't have two Holy Spirits. Holy Ghost is not twins. He's just one. But you see, he had a double portion of what Elijah had. He had a double portion of anointing upon him to minister. And so, if you read it carefully, you'll find that it's listed that he wrought exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Well, now, he had a double portion of the Spirit, the anointing, you see, that Elijah had. Yet Elijah didn't die, and he did die. And after they buried him, there wasn't anything left but his bones. They carried this young man out to bury him, and the minute he touched his bones, he revived. Well, there has to be some connection between the bones of this man, because he didn't revive till he touched his bones. Now, what do you suppose happened? You wouldn't have to be too intelligent to know this, that there was a residue of anointing, that there was enough anointing power a year later after the flesh had rotted off of his bones, there was enough anointing power in his bones to raise a young man from the dead. But it didn't raise him till he touched it. There had to be that contact. And when this young man's dead body contacted those bones, he revived. Well, I can just hear somebody in their stupidity. Saying, well, if that's the case, how come that Elisha didn't, how come he wasn't raised from the dead? Well, let me let you in on a little Bible secret that maybe you don't know. God never did promise us we weren't going to die. But God said all through the Old Testament again and again, more than one time to Israel, I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of your days you shall fulfill. And if you'll read it carefully, the Bible had already stated that Elisha had fulfilled the number of his days and it was time for him to die. Number two, you never read in the Bible, Old or New Testament, whether any old or elderly person was ever raised up from the dead. Not a single one. All that were ever raised from the dead were either children, young people, or middle-aged people. See? You see, Elisha had lived his time out. This young man, being a young man, had not lived his time out. Because God had said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of your days you'll fulfill. He hadn't fulfilled the number of his days. See? And when he touched those bones, he revived. So you know this much. Now that's 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, the 20th and 21st verses. If you can believe, and if you believe the Bible, you have to believe this. And I don't mind telling you at all, if you don't believe it, you just don't believe the Bible. That's all there is to it. And you have to believe, if you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe that this man has a residue of anointing in his bones. Enough of it left there, bless God, to raise that young man up. It was when he came in contact with those bones, something happened. But I'll tell you, if you can believe that a prophet in his lifetime anointed by the Spirit of God, after he had died and the flesh had rotted off of his bones, that had enough power and a residue of anointing in his bones to raise a dead man, praise God, when he touched him, surely you ought to be a man alive, believe a man alive anointed by the Spirit could touch you and God's healing power be transmitted to your body. That ought to be the easier thing to believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now then, I want you to notice this. I have said this to you, and I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep on saying it. because it's so important that here in this story of the woman with the issue of blood, when this diseased woman touched his clothes, Jesus was aware of an outflow. He knew that power went out of him, so that power is tangible. It's perceptible to the touch. It's capable of being touched. And then secondly, this woman was aware of the reception. The healing is a fact. Now here, faith and the power of God were apparent. There are two key words in this section of Scripture, and those words are the words power and faith. Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now I want to call your attention to something real quickly before we proceed concerning the tangibility of God's healing power that people fail to realize, and yet it's a biblical and a scriptural fact. You see, they just see Jesus ministering a lot of folks as they read the four Gospels. And they say, well, he was the Son of God, you know. Inferring, you know, he could do that, nobody else ever could do it. Or inferring that he was healing the sick by some power that was inherent in him because he was the Son of God. Or inferring and sometimes saying that he healed the sick to prove his deity and divinity. And every one of those statements are untruths. Not a single one of them are true. I said, not a single one of them are true. You see, Jesus, as we've already pointed out to you, was just as much the Son of God when he was 25 years old as he was when he was 30 years old. And yet when he was 25 years old, he had not and did not heal one single person or work one single miracle. Then again, he was just as much the Son of God when he was 29 years old as he was when he was 30 years old. And yet at that time, he did not and had not and did not heal one single person or work one single miracle. So if he was healing people because he was the Son of God or because some power that was inherited in him as being the Son of God, he would already been doing that before at 30 years of age, after being baptized by John in Jordan's river, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and God anointed him. But he didn't do it beforehand, you see. You see, Jesus himself tells us, if you'd turn to the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel real quickly, the Bible tells us, after that Jesus was baptized of John in Jordan's river, the word of God tells us, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, this is the 14th verse of the fourth chapter of Luke, into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And then the 16th verse says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Notice that he calls himself as a prophet. He was not ministering as the Son of God. He died as the Son of God. He died as the Lamb of God and shed his blood as God's sacrifice. But he was ministering as a prophet anointed with the Spirit. Now then he said, you'll surely say this proverb unto me, physician, heal thyself. Now he wasn't sick. He tells you the meaning of it. The mighty works, he said, you're going to say to me that we've heard that you did in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. the mighty works that we've heard that you did in Capernaum, do here in thy country. And you know he never did do them. They challenged him to do them. You turn back to Mark's gospel real quickly. We were right there a moment ago in that fifth chapter. And you turn back to the sixth chapter and just read the fifth verse and see. Here's Mark's account of the ministry of Jesus in his hometown. And he could, there in Nazareth, do no mighty work. See, he said, I know what you're saying. He could read the thoughts. You're saying the mighty works. The mighty works, the mighty healings, the mighty miracles that you did in Capernaum, do here in thy country. And he never did do them. He never did do them. It said he could there do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Well, now somebody said, well, now don't tell me there isn't anything the Lord can't do. He can do anything he wants to do. Well, if he can, why don't he make you pay your tithes then? I guess that'll settle the issue, won't it? Amen. Amen. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. You see, there are a lot of things God can't do because people won't let him do it. Because people won't cooperate with him. Are you listening to me? And so it said he could there in Nazareth do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Yeah, just a few got healed. Well, now, wait a minute here. If he's who he claims to be, and if he's healing people to prove his divinity and deity, then he would have been under obligation to have healed them anyhow. But he didn't. Instead of that, he got run out of town. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? Now look at the next verse and you'll find out why he did not many mighty works there. Notice the next verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And now then, if he's going to minister to them and if he's going to help them, he's going to have to do something about that unbelief. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So the rest of the sixth verse says, and he went around about the villages teaching. And he went round about the villages teaching. And you know what he taught? He taught around about the villages the same thing he did in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. He didn't change his message when he got to the next place. Preached the same message. The anointing's upon me. And those who would believe it, see, could receive. And those who wouldn't, didn't receive. Now you see here. Go back to the fourth chapter of Luke. Let me show you something real quickly. You see, Jesus says to them, we'd read the 24th verse where he said, I say, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now notice the 25th and 26th verses. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, the prophet, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, what's he telling them? Here we can learn something if we'll listen about the gifts of the Spirit. Because this is the working of miracles that was in operation here under Elijah's ministry. That cruise of oil just kept giving oil. The meal barrel just kept giving meal in that one home only. He couldn't go in any widow's home, and work a miracle. He could only go where the Lord said to go. See? Now then, go back to that Acts, the 10th chapter and 38th verse, and notice this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and, that means and something else, and with power, with healing power. When the woman touched him, the Bible didn't say the Holy Ghost went out of him. The Bible said power went out of him. Are you listening to me now? So you see, this healing power was manifested when people believed. Because he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. You see. But then because he was anointed by the Spirit, the manifestations or the gifts of the Spirit, all of them but tongues and interpretation, were manifested through him as the Spirit willed. Now you see here in Elijah's ministry, that is
the working of miracles. But he couldn't go in just any widow's house. Some people have imagined, you know, if a man had the working of miracles, he'd just work a miracle wherever he wanted to. Man never does it. God does it through man as he wills. You don't just push a button and start working. That's where people miss it. Instead of letting the Spirit of God use them, they try to use the Spirit. And they get in a mess. Well, if that had been a lot of people, they'd have set up a ministry. A meal and an oil ministry. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? You know I'm telling you the truth. But Elijah couldn't do that just anywhere. Only where God said do it. The one house. All right, listen now. Let's go on reading. We'll read again about this fellow Elisha. Now then notice this. The 27th verse says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. How many lepers? Many lepers were in Israel. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Not one leper. Now other people must have been getting healed. Because don't you know this little Jewish maiden was taken captive by Naaman and was evidently a slave or a servant perhaps to his wife, in the home at least. And when she found out that Naaman had the leprosy, she said to Mrs. Naaman, would God that my master were in the land of Samaria. She said there's a prophet of God over there that could cure him of his leprosy. Evidently, he must have had a history of healings under his ministry, and that little maiden knew about it, or she wouldn't have said that. Isn't that true? You wouldn't say that about some preachers I know, would you? You wouldn't say that about some preachers you know, would you? Well, now, he had a healing ministry, evidently, and had a record of getting people healed. That's the reason she said, I wish he is over there. I would God, I wish, in other words, that my master was over there. There's a prophet over there that could cure him of his leprosy. And yet God's holy record tells us, Jesus Christ himself tells us right here, that in the days of Elijah, there were many lepers in Israel and not one of them got healed. Not one of them got healed. Saving Naaman the Syrian. Well, this evidently Miss Naaman told Mr. Naaman about it, and so he went over there. I mean, when a fellow's got a deadly disease, you know, and there's no cure for it, he's ready to do anything. And so he took, of course, along with him, silver and gold, changes of raiment, and so on, going to pay for it, but you can't pay for what you get from God. And he drove up in his chariot, no doubt, in front of Naaman's house or shack or tent or whatever he's living in. They announced he was there. And you know, Elisha the prophet never did even go out to see him. You know, God don't care what you're riding in. And if you are riding in a chariot, amen, if you are a mighty man of valor, if you are commander-in-chief of the army, I mean, God's not going to scrape and bow to anybody. Are you listening to me? You know, human nature hadn't changed. Because he didn't go out, all he did just send his servant out there. Just sent his servant out there, said, tell him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and his flesh will come again clean. And old Mr. Naaman got mad about it, didn't he? Oh, he exploded. He said, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Why couldn't I dip in them and be clean? You know, human nature is the same day. Why can't it work some other way? Well, let's just let it work God's way. What do you care about some other way? It's any of your business anyhow. Amen. And Naaman said, I thought surely he would come out and strike his hand over the place, you know, where the leprosy was. He thought he'd come out and go through some kind of a rigmarole, you know, and say hocus pocus and so on. I guess that's the way he acted. Feel so sorry for people sometimes. Bless their darling hearts. They're just that stupid today. I have people who come some along and I just go along, lay my hand on them and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And they get mad about it. You never even prayed for me. Well, just stay home, Stu. And stay sick. Amen.
Don't shout me down now. Just call him preaching real good. Who said you had to pray a long prayer? I mean, who said that? God didn't. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth said a fellow came to him one time. He was right in the heating line. He just got to him, you see. And he said, "What's wrong with you?" Well, the man started to tell him about every little ache and pain he got. Finally, Wigglesworth just stopped and said, wait a minute, brother. I didn't ask for your case history. You can sum it up real quickly. You just need healing from the top of your head and sole of your foot. Yeah, that's it. And the man said, "I'll tell you now," said, "it'll take you about 30 minutes to pray for me because I need a good overhaul job." Wigglesworth said, "You got any faith?" "Oh," he said, "I'm full of faith." Wigglesworth said, "I said to him, you're lying about, you're full of wind. That's all you're full of. Won't take 30 minutes. It don't take God 30 minutes. God can do it right now. And I'm not going to pray for anybody 30 minutes. Amen. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
If you can't, say, oh, me. Well, human nature sort of is still the same today, hasn't it? Hadn't changed. Naaman said, "I thought surely he'd come out and strike his hand over the place, you know. He didn't even come out to see him, just sent the servant out. Said, go dip in the river Jordan 7 times and your flesh will come again clean." And he got mad about it, but his servant said to him, "If he had asked something hard of you, you'd have done it." So finally, old Naaman, he got cooled off, relented, and went down to the river Jordan, dipped in it 7 times, and was cleansed, was healed. Praise God. Well, now, if this prophet could do that with this leper, why couldn't he heal? If he healed him, why couldn't he heal lepers in Israel, and yet wasn't one of them healed? Well, because the prophet didn't heal anybody. Are you listening to me now? God did it as he willed through him. The gifts of the Spirit are for us today, and they operate as the Spirit wills, not as Brother Hagin wills. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And it's given, the Bible said, as the Spirit wills. Well, now you see, I'm going to show you. Because Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, then you'll see these manifestations of the Holy Ghost operating in his ministry. You'll see all of them except tongues and interpretation. You'll see the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the gift of special faith. You'll see working of miracles, gifts of healings, and prophecy, not tongues and interpretation. Nowhere under the old covenant did you ever see tongues and interpretation operation, because tongues with interpretation are distinctive of this dispensation in which we live, you see. And so for that reason then, gifts of healings, working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of special faith, as the Greek actually says, was operating Jesus' ministry. And you see, he would sometimes, you'd just see him at times walk up to somebody like at the pool of Bethesda. Never laid his hands on him. Nothing flowed out of him. No power flowed from him, to the man. But the scripture just said, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man said, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the water. Somebody always gets in ahead of me." He said, "Arise and walk. Rise and take up your bed and go home." Bless God, the man got up, took up his bed, and went home. Didn't he? Sure. Now, you see, that was a mighty work. That was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, because he's anointed the Holy Ghost, you see. And you'll see those manifestations occasionally. And he said in Nazareth, "I know what you're going to say to me. The mighty works that we've heard that you did in Capernaum, do them here." But never did do them. He never did do them. Managed to get a few people, and those few people only had minor ailments, the Greek says. He laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments, the Greek says. Just a few folks, few of them, and they only had minor things wrong with them. See? Now you see, when the Holy Ghost is in manifestation only as the Spirit wills, not as we will, then you'll see mighty things happen. And I thank God for those times. I thought about the other night, you know, I made mention the other night about a camp meeting I preached in 1954
California and I came through Fort Worth and got Brother Braun to go with. Brother Braun was pastor then of the Rosen Heights Assembly of God. And so he went out there with an account meeting. And I told you about something that happened on a Sunday in San Jose in the church after the camp meeting. But let me tell you about something that happened on Friday night. We started Monday night and preached this camp meeting through Saturday night down at Santa Cruz. And so Brother Braun and I stayed uptown in the hotel. They furnished us a room up there. Everybody else stayed out on the campground. And so I'd gotten off to sleep, was asleep. Then I woke up about 1:30. And it's so wonderful. You know, it's one thing about being able to pray in the Spirit. You don't disturb anybody. Brother Braun's in the bed, you know, across the room. Two beds in this room. And so I lay there and prayed in other tongues. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. It means to pray with other tongues. From 1:30 until 4 o'clock in the morning. Just very quiet. I never disturbed him. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw my night service, you see, for this Friday night. And I saw myself in the pulpit preaching. And I heard the sermon I preach. I do that very often. I see that very often. But when I say very often, I don't mean just quite regularly, but I mean once in a while. And then I'll go out and preach that. A lot of times I get something I never did preach before. Get a brand new sermon that way. I heard myself preach it in a vision while I was praying. All the points, and I just go in and act that out and just do what I saw myself do. Praise the Lord. And then sometimes I see myself preaching a sermon I've preached before. And this happened to be a sermon I'd preached before. God had given to me by revelation, a sermon on faith. So I preached that night. Then I saw myself. When I finished my sermon, I leaned over the pulpit and pointed to a lady in the center section right in front of the pulpit. I said, "Sister, I saw you in a vision in my hotel room this morning at 4 o'clock. And for the last 3 mornings," now you stand out here in one of the cabins on the campground. That's where I saw her. "The last 3 nights, from about midnight on, you just have not been able to lie down flat in bed and get your breath. So I saw you sitting up in bed, heaving for breath, struggling for breath. And you don't have a history of heart trouble, but your heart seems to skip beats and not beat right. Is that right?" I said to her after I'd pointed her out and she stood up. She said, "Brother Hagin, that's exactly right." I said, "The Lord told me to tell you, you're healed." See, I never touched her. I never ministered to her otherwise. I had a manifestation of the Spirit. The word of knowledge and gifts of healings were operating right at the moment, you see. Why couldn't you do that for everybody? You can't unless the Spirit said so. You see what I mean? Only as the Spirit will. Why didn't Jesus? If mighty works were in manifestation elsewhere, why weren't they here? He never did do them in Nazareth, see? Then I saw myself when I pointed to another lady. I'd never seen her before in my life. I'd never preached at that time in the state of California before in my life. I was an absolute stranger to these people, having only been there a few days, you see, and this particular group. And I pointed to this lady because in the vision I saw myself to her. And I said to her, "You stand up." And so this lady finally detected who I was talking to and stood up. And I said, "Now, sister, the Lord shows me," no way I can tell it, you see, from where I was. "But the Lord shows me, the Spirit shows me that you are bound and have been bound for several years with arthritis." She said, "That's right." I said, "The Lord told me to tell you, you are healed." And she instantly was loosed. Not only that, but I stayed on out there in California and preached. And weeks later, I saw both of these ladies. They came to visit my meeting and said, "We're still free. Praise God, we were set free that night. We're still free." And then I saw a lady on a stretcher over here. Now, we hadn't had a stretcher case in that whole meeting, though we was praying for the sick every night. And I saw this lady in the vision I'm talking about, lying on the stretcher, you see. And I saw myself walk down off the platform, take her by the hand and say, "Sister, the Lord shows me you've been bedfast over 2 years." And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Are you afraid to try to get up?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, arise and walk then in the name of Jesus." And she got up and walked right in front of the whole crowd. Now, I never said a word to a soul. I didn't go out in the daytime. Only one morning, I believe, one afternoon during the camp meeting. They had other camp meeting speakers, but I spoke on faith a couple of times during the week. And Brother Braun, though, would go out every day and drive my car out. And so
I didn't say anything to him because I was awake all that time praying. I was still asleep in bed, and he got up and went out there the next morning. And so when we started, we were driving out to the campgrounds that night, and I said, Brother Braun, let me give you a little preview on the service tonight. And I told him, first of all, that this lady is going to be healed who's been sitting up in bed the last three nights just struggling for her breath. The arthritic lady is going to be healed, and then a lady on a stretcher would be there, and she would get up and walk and be healed. Well, now, later on, I came back, and some of the members are here from Rose Knight. You would remember this. Later on, I came back to Rose Knight for another meeting, and Brother Braun related this incident to the church. Said, you know, I thought Brother Hagin for a while had missed it. He said, you know, the time I was back behind the platform in the prayer room praying, musicians, the pianist, and the organist, as he was already playing out here, and it was time to start the service. And Brother Braun said there wasn't anybody there on the stretcher. And so he said, I went outside and looked around. And I couldn't see an ambulance or anybody anywhere, and went back inside. About that time, Brother Choir Director or the song leader got up, congregational singing, didn't have a choir, and asked everybody to stand. They prayed, and then they started in with a song. And I looked again. There's nobody there on the stretcher. So he said, I went back outside again. And I looked all around that tabernacle, and I couldn't see any ambulance or see nobody on the stretcher. And so he said, I came down the right side of that tabernacle to come in the side door, like doors about like yonder. And he said, just as I started in, I hesitated a moment, and I saw a panel truck come up the front of the tabernacle and turn down by the side of it. And so he said, I stopped there and waited, and I saw two men in it. And they drove up to this side door, and by the time they got there, I was right out there with them. And he said, they walked around and opened up these two doors, back doors of this panel truck, and he said, I looked in with them, there's a woman on the stretcher. And they pulled that stretcher out, you see, and carried it in. And he come running back there where I was praying, tapped me on the shoulder, said, Brother Hagin, said, that woman's out there. Well, it didn't bother me. I knew she'd be there. Amen. It never failed yet. And so I went out then. I preached my sermon like I saw myself preach. Then I said this to this woman who had sat up in bed and couldn't sleep the last three nights, struggling for breath, and this arthritic was healed. Then I walked down off the platform. See, I didn't tell anybody what was going to happen except Brother Braun. I told him what was going to happen. And I took the woman by the hand. I said, Sister, God shows me that you've been bedfast over 2 years. Yes, she said, 2 years and 7 months to be exact. I said, are you afraid to try to get up and walk? She said, no. I said, arise and walk in Jesus' name. God's my witness, and the whole crowd, to see instantly she rose right up and began to walk. I never prayed for her. No power was ministered to him. That was an act of the Spirit of God. That was a manifestation, you see, in these three cases of the word of knowledge, that spiritual gift, and gifts of healings in manifestation. Now, I've had those things to happen a number of times through the years. They keep on happening, you see, as the Spirit will. And there's been times that I pushed every button, pulled every lever that I ever pulled before, nothing happened. Well, that proves man's not doing it. See what I'm talking about? And I fasted and prayed, done three times as much fasting and twice as much praying as I ever did. Nothing happened at all. Nothing. No manifestation at all. And then I was just doing my ordinary praying. I always pray and stay in fellowship with God. I tell folks, you know, I hear Pentecostal folks, and I've been Pentecostal since 1937. You know, the Pentecostal experience is being filled with the Spirit speaking other tongues. And I hear folks talk about praying through, and I said, I've been saved ever since 1934, and I never prayed through yet. Never. I stay through. Now, if you need to pray through, come on and get through, and then end it right there. Stay through. See, you can stay prayed up and in fellowship with God every day, can't you? I said, can't you? You might as well say amen. We need to preach faith instead of unbelief. I went to a certain church, and right up behind the Baptist, you see, there's a Baptist up there, but they had, well, it would be like up there, right up there above it, but except it was back behind the Baptist. And he had this sign up there, you know, great big sign up there. It said, pray through. Before I left, and I was just there about 10 days, he took it down. dear God, he said, here I am, a peddler in unbelief. I'm insinuating that we're not prayed through, that we're not praying. And he said, we're in revival. God's moving in our midst. In fact, right here, he said, I've been pastor here 4 years, and he said in the last few months, we've had more people baptized in the Holy Ghost than we have 4 years put together. We've had in 30 days' time 50 people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why, man, we're in revival. I got that old unbelieving sign staring us in the face, peddling unbelief to the crowd, making them think they're not through. He ripped it down. Said, we won't get that up there anymore. Are you listening to me? You can. You can walk in fellowship with the Lord every day. Can't you? Sure you can. Praise the Lord. How come me to get off on that? I told you last night I'd do better, but I'm not doing much better ever than I was. Well, I'll keep on trying anyway. Amen. Well, I've prayed, like I said, and that's what I was praying about. I was praying that these things would be manifested, even fasting, doing three times as much fasting as ordinary done, twice as much praying, and nothing happened. No manifestation, no word of knowledge, no gifts of healing, no gifts of the Spirit operating. Well, maybe tongues and interpretation a little bit, and they'd always operate, because they'll be more in manifestation because they're distinctive of this dispensation. Well, then, like I said, I just did my ordinary praying. Wasn't doing any fasting at all, just praying, my own daily fellowship, standing in fellowship with God, and here came the manifestations. And you know, I think God did that just simply to prove to me that it's not you. You don't have a thing in the world to do with this. Amen. Except to present yourself as a vessel that God can use. But as far as you're doing it, you're not doing it at all. Are you listening to me now? Now then, if you'll read through these four Gospels, as I said to you, you'll find that Jesus ministered that way some. But that wasn't the only way he ministered. You know, there are various ways of ministering, and ministers make a mistake sometimes. I've heard some, bless their hearts, I felt so sorry for them, in that I recognized that they had a ministry and God was using them, gifts of the Spirit in operation, but I felt so sorry for them because they're so ignorant on the Bible, till they could be misleading to some folks. And they left that, I've heard and seen some minister, and they left the impression this is the only way to minister. Well, no, that's not the only way to do it, because God might use somebody else in a different way. And besides that, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible plainly said in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that there are diversities of operations. That means different operations. They don't always operate the same through an individual. Are you listening to me? Amen. Well, it says here, there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, none of them, not a one of them were, saving Naaman the Syrian. Well, now, if he's got that kind of ministry, how come these things don't work? Because, you see, my friends, the ministry is the ministry that God gives you, not what you wanted. And then the operation of the manifestation comes as the Spirit of God wills. Amen. I remember on one occasion years ago, my wife and I were in another city shopping, and a lady of our congregation went by to visit her daughter, and this daughter said, Brother Hagin, when we come back to pick up her mother, said, there's a lady right down the street about a half a block down here, it's on her deathbed, and I've told her about your ministry, and she said, I believe you'll just go down there and pray, God will heal her. Well, we went down about a half a block away, and here a little woman was lying on the bed. I had to get out on my knees and put my ear down to her mouth almost to hear what she said. She's in the last stages of an incurable blood disease. She had gone just exactly the way the doctor said she'd go. Her husband had put her through three different clinics in this part of Texas. All of them said the same thing. Nothing we can do. Nothing medical science can do. Not one thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. She will become eventually totally bedfast and just wither away and just get so weak, you know, then finally die. And she was just so weak, you know, until she just had to whisper. And so we started praying because we was in a hurry. And suddenly I heard the Spirit of God say to me. Now, this was a manifestation of the Spirit. I heard the Spirit of God say to me, just as plain as some man saying to me. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible said, the prophet would say, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Did you ever wonder how it came? Well, it sure didn't come audible. If it did, he wouldn't have to tell the rest of them what it was. They'd all heard it. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Now the word came to his spirit. It's a different than being led by the inward. So I heard the Lord within me say, tell her to get up, she's healed. Now here's a woman on a deathbed. Wouldn't you be a fool to do that? I mean, if the Lord didn't do it, I said, sister, the Lord told me to tell you to get up, you're healed. I've never done this, I said, before in my life. And you know what? I've never done it since then. Why don't I just go doing that with everybody's on a deathbed? Because the Lord didn't say so. See, that's why I didn't. And she got up immediately, was healed. That was Thursday. On Sunday, she was over in our church, praise God, shouting through the service. Hallelujah. On Thursday, on a deathbed, on Sunday, shouting, glory. Praise the Lord. I was preaching a meeting there in California, and I had, the pastor had said to me, is a large church, and most of the time, a larger church, a pastor a lot of times will preach on Sunday morning, even though you are in meetings, and he was going to preach this Sunday morning. He said, brother, it would be all right if you want to go away somewhere else and preach, you know. And I thought about a friend close by, and so I contacted him. I didn't want to preach. I was just going to service, but he was gone, wasn't even there. Somebody else coming to fill his pulpit. And so I said to my, well, we'll just go here Sunday morning, you know, and hear the pastor. Praise the Lord. So on Friday night, I'd gotten off to sleep, and I was awakened. Way up past midnight, about 1:30 in the morning, and I had an urge to pray. Nothing made me do it. I just know the leading of the Spirit, so I began to pray. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and I prayed in other tongues. And I prayed in other tongues about an hour and a half. Never disturbed my wife, right in the bed right beside me, but never disturbed her. She just slept right on. I just lay there quietly praying in other tongues, in the Spirit. And then the Lord said to me, now here I didn't have a vision, but the Lord just spoke to my spirit and said, there was a Foursquare preacher by the name of Max Caesar that I'd held two revivals for in Redondo Beach, California. And the Lord reminded me, Max Caesar is pastor of the first Foursquare church in Bell Gardens, California. I was in Bell Flower. Well, I didn't look at him out. See, I didn't know. I knew he was in Bell Gardens, all right, the Lord just reminded me. But I didn't look at him out, so I didn't know Bell Gardens was just right close by there. I thought, you know, it might be several miles away. The Lord said to me, Max Caesar is pastor of the first Foursquare church in Bell Gardens, and that's right close by here. Wasn't but about 5-6 miles away, see? And of course, I got my map then the next morning, looked at it, and sure enough, he's there just right where the Lord said it was, see? But anyway, here's what the Lord said to me. Said, he's there, and you go over there Sunday morning, and he'll ask you to preach. And I want you to preach. I said, all right. And then when the Lord said that to me, then he gave me a vision. And I saw myself standing in this pulpit in this Foursquare church in Bell Garden, California, see. And I saw myself say to a lady, now I didn't point her out. She is already standing up. When this part of the vision, I just saw her standing up towards the back of the building. And I said to her, sister, you have a tumor on the back side of your right kidney. The Lord told me to tell you you're healed. And then I saw another lady standing up in the congregation. Now, most of the time I would see them sitting when I'd have a vision, and I'd tell them to stand up, you see, and then tell them what's wrong. And so, but this time I didn't. I saw them standing up. I wondered what it meant. You can see in a minute. And I said to her, sister, you have a knot or a growth or a lump in your right breast, and you're fearful that it's cancer. In fact, the doctors have told you that it could be. But God told me to tell you you're healed. Now, I didn't say a word to my wife. Many times people will say things to her, and people won't think it sometimes, but she never tells me. Because I'll get the ministering when the Spirit's upon, when there's an anointing there, and I'll tell folks most of the time. The other night, there was a lady came here all the way from Tulsa. We live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, our offices are there. But I didn't know this woman. She didn't know me. Young woman, you saw her come down. But she'd said to my son-in-law out there at the book table first, I won't talk to Brother Hagin. Oh, he said, you can't talk to Brother Hagin. He won't talk to anybody before the service. Well, yeah, but I won't talk to him. Well, he said, you can't. He might talk to you afterwards, and he might not. You just can't. Well, she said, I want to be ministered to and prayed for. And she said, I know, you know. And she began to tell him about some trouble she'd had. And I know it's an evil spirit that's troubling me and so on. Well, then when I finished my sermon, the Lord said to me, that's all I heard on this occasion was, was to minister to someone with headaches, chronic headaches, and several came, you know. And finally, this young lady came. I didn't know she was in Tulsa. And she started telling me a little bit, and if you were here, you heard me say, no, don't tell me anymore, because suddenly I got it in the spirit, and I said, all three of you spirits that oppress her, leave her now in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore, see? And so for that reason, I'd really rather not know anything about you. For instance, I was holding a meeting over in Kansas in one of the Assembly of God churches, and we come to the last night of the meeting. Now, we was in the Assembly Church, and there was an independent Pentecostal church close by, and so they came and cooperated with us in the meeting. This pastor had known me before when I held a meeting in the Four Square Church. In fact, this man had gotten saved in the Four Square Church, but he was pastor of this independent Pentecostal church. And so he came, brought his church and over to the Assembly Church, and actually, these were only two Pentecostal churches there, full gospel churches, and they cooperated in the meeting. I closed out on a Wednesday night. I preached, you see, 1 week and then over through Wednesday night because I had to be on up in the state of Oregon by the next Sunday, and I wanted to take Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to travel, you see, and not push myself. And so he dismissed his Wednesday night service and this service there. And the service was all over. We'd prayed for everybody. Everything's all over. And I was still here on the platform, and this pastor's wife of the Independent Pentecostal Church came up to me and shook hands with him, told me how she appreciated the service and the ministry and so on. And then she held on to my hand and said, began to cry. I said, Brother Hagin, I thought maybe the Lord might minister to me, but he didn't. But said, there's something I want to help me with or pray with me about. She said, there was something happened when I first got saved. I was just a baby Christian. And the minute she said that, suddenly I knew on the inside. It just took shape and form like a picture in here in my spirit. I saw her. I knew exactly what she did. I said, wait a minute. Don't tell me another thing. I said, now, you see, you could tell me your problem, and then I might give you an answer. And though it may be according to the script, you get away from him, the devil would say, oh, well, that's just Brother Hagin, you know. But I said, if supernaturally I can tell you what your problem is and supernaturally give you the answer, you know God supernaturally moved to help you. She said, that's right. I said, all right, I'll tell you. If I miss it, you tell me. You missed it. I said, you've just been saved 6 months. You did get the baptism, all right. You're saved and filled with the Spirit, only 6 months old in the Lord. Now, an older woman, but only 6 months old in the Lord. And I said, you told a lie. Her eyes got big and her mouth fell open. Said, well, you must be a fortune teller. Or a mind reader. Said, that's exactly what happened. No, I said, I'm not telling you fortune or reading your mind either. Isn't that strange that folks don't know the difference between fortune telling, mind reading, gifts of the Spirit in operation? I said, my mind don't have a thing in the world to do with it. I got it all in here, in my spirit. The Holy Spirit's here in my spirit. That's where he is. I got it in here. Praise the Lord. And I said, now, sister, the devil told you. Now, wait just a minute, though. Let me tell you the rest of it. If I miss it, you tell me. You missed it, brother. I said, the devil told me, or the Lord told me, that the devil told you, now then, you've sinned and you have committed an unpardonable sin. God won't ever forgive you for that. And though your husband went into the ministry, both of them was past 40 when they got saved, but he made some preparation because he felt called to preach and was pastor of this church, and this was the first church that ever pastored, you see. And I said, now, and then when I said that to her, then I envisioned for him, I saw her. I said, now, wait a minute, this is not all of it. Wait a minute, some more of it's coming now. Very often when I start telling it, it'll keep coming. I said, now, wait a minute. I see you in your house, and there'll be 2 week period of the time you'll be so depressed over this. And the devil will take advantage until you just have to go to bed and stay in bed 2 weeks and pull all the window shades down. And I saw a cloth lying on your eyes. You got such a headache you can't stand the light. All because of the oppression, because of this something you did away back yonder. Is that right? She said, Brother Hagin, that's exactly right. She said, I'd say nearly 2 weeks out of every 8 weeks, I'm in bed. I have to pull all the window shades, just like you said, just like you saw it. And just simply my eyes hurt so and my head hurts so, and nothing I take or do helps me a bit in the world. And it's all because of this oppression. And then I said, now here's the answer, and the Lord gave me a word for her that released her. And she began to smile. Praise God, and her face lit up, and I saw her two or three years later, she said, I've been free ever since then. You see, God wants to set people free. And he's given the church supernatural equipment to set them free. Why don't you do that for every woman? Well, I would if the Lord said to. I was holding a meeting. I pastored the church over in Farmersville, Texas, Assembly of God Church in Farmersville, Texas. Way back 1939, 1940, and then I left it prematurely and had to go back and pastor two more years in 1943, 1944. Now, when I was pastor there, there was a young man in the church, about a boy, you see, that was eight, about 12 when I left. And this young man was perfectly all right, grew up in Sunday school there, got saved, baptized the Holy Ghost, perfectly all right, physically in every way. I went back then 1949, or 1950, and preached there a little meeting a couple of weeks in the fall, October of 1950. And so the Lord, this young man came up in the healing line one night. I didn't know anything was wrong with him, but he's in the healing line. And so when I got to him, I said, what did you come for? Because I'd put people in the same line, either for healing or for the Holy Ghost, lay hands on them. He said, well, for healing. He said to me then, Brother Hagin, I didn't have this when I was here. He said, I started this in my junior year of high school, began to have epileptic seizures. I've only had it for the last two or three years. Now he's up about 19 to 20 years old, see? And he said, and so I laid my hands on him. When I did, I perceived that he was oppressed by an evil spirit. Now, that's not always the case with these people. Sometimes it's just a physical something that needs to be healed. But in this case, the spirit needs to be cast. So I cast the spirit out of him. Well, I finished that meeting and went my way. The next year, we were living in Garland, Texas, and I had an arrangement to go up and preach on a Saturday night in Farmersville, Assembly of God Church. And it had been 12 months, 1 year exactly, to the day almost. And so I was late about going up from Garland on Saturday night, about 25 miles up there from Garland. And I got tied up with a long-distance telephone call right at the last minute. And I thought to myself, well, there's no use in my rushing. And they're going to, they'll sing preliminaries. And I'll just get in time to preach. But I was a little late. Actually, they were waiting on me. And when I walked in the side door and sat on the platform, the pastor said, well, we've been waiting on you, Brother Hagin. And just doing a little extra singing and testifying. But I waited purposely until you got here. We're going to take up the offering and going to give it to you. This is your offering tonight for coming. And so we're going to ask the ushers to come. And then just as soon as they receive the offering, we're going to turn it to Brother Hagin. So while they were taking up the offering, I sat there on the platform, looked the congregation over, and my eyes fell on this young man. I remember what happened the year before, and the Spirit of God said to me, just as plain as some man talking to me, I almost turned around and looked behind me to see who said it. That young man, he said to me, was delivered last year from epilepsy when you cast that spirit out of him. And for one solid year, he has not had a seizure, but in the last 10 days, in the nighttime, he was awakened with a seizure on two different occasions. Now, all the time he ever had epilepsy before, he never had a seizure in the nighttime. Never. Now, when you get up before you ever preach, I want you to minister to him, the Lord said to me. So when I got up, you see, I'm talking about special manifestation. See? And so when I got up to minister, I said to this young man, come up here, come up here. And he came up and stood for him, and I said, now, if I miss it, you just speak right up and tell the crowd, Brother Hagin, you missed it, you missed it. Because, I'm human, I could miss it. Well, somebody said, what if you do? Well, I'm enjoying the rest of you folks that's missed it. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not going to quit. Well, now somebody said, the Lord's not going to miss it. I know he's not going to miss it. You see, here's why gifts of the Spirit are not always perfect in their manifestation. The Holy Ghost is perfect, but they're being manifested through imperfect individuals. Are you listening to me now? So they're not always perfect in manifestation. Isn't God's fault? It's because you wouldn't think, that was a manifestation of God's power through that donkey. Talk to Balaam. But you wouldn't think the donkey is perfect, would you? I always get great comfort from that. If God can use that donkey, surely he can use me. Amen.
Somehow or another, that encourages me. If God could talk through that donkey, surely he could talk through me. Say amen if you can. Amen. So I called the young man up there and I said to him, now if I miss it, just speak up and say, Brother Hagin, you missed it. You're wrong. I said, last year when I was here, you came up for prayer for epileptic seizures. And the Lord revealed to me, I perceived that you were oppressed by spirit, and I cast that spirit out of you. That means out of his body, see? And I said, for a year you didn't have a seizure. And he started to say something. I said, now wait a minute, I know what you're going to say. You did not have a seizure for a year, but lately, in the last 10 days, you've had two seizures. One on two different occasions. He said, that's right. I said, then both of them came on you. You was awakened. They came on you in the nighttime. You woke up, in other words, with a seizure. And all the other years that you had epilepsy, you never had a seizure in the nighttime, did you? He said, no, I didn't. Now, I said, do you know why you had these seizures in the nighttime? He said, no, I don't. I said, the Lord told me why. I'm going to tell you. I said, the Lord told me you went to bed and went to sleep afraid. He said, you must be a fortune teller. Or a mind reader. He said, that's exactly right. No, I said, I'm not telling you fortune, reading your mind either. My mind don't have anything to do with it. I got it all in here. I heard the Lord say it in here. In here on the inside of me. You went to bed and went to sleep afraid. You know, Job said, that which I was afraid of has happened unto me. That which I feared has come upon me. Fear opens the door to the devil. Are you listening to me? And so, he said, that's right. Well, I said, I'm going to cast that thing out of you again, and I did. And then I want to teach you. So I just taught him. I said, the whole crowd can listen. That was my sermon tonight. How to stand against the devil. How to deal with fear. I saw the young man years later. Finally made an executive, actually, in a business. And he said, I've never had another seizure from that day to this. Praise God forevermore. Well, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the manifestation. I could stand here if I had time to talk all night long when the sun come up in the morning and be still telling you about things that's happened. Well, somebody said, why don't you do that here? I didn't do it anywhere else. Amen. I didn't do it anywhere else. But the Lord did it through me as he wills. And I'm going to stay open to him. If he wants to work that way, I'll go with him. But I'm not going to sit around and quit because he doesn't. I'm going to keep preaching, teaching the word, and ministering the way he said minister. So this laying on of hands with a tangible anointing will work when these other things won't. It did with Jesus. The mighty works, the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit weren't in operation. But when people would touch him in faith, they'd get healed. So Jesus said to me, and I have to repeat this, you'll understand that, way back 1950 in his holy meeting in Rockwall, Texas, September the 3rd, 1950. And the Lord said to me, or appeared to me, and he laid the finger of his right hand upon me, each one of my hands. Then laid his hand on his right hand on my head. Now, the minute he put his finger in the palm of my hands, it began to burn like I had a coal of fire in me. I feel that way right now. And he said to me when he laid his hand on my head, I have called you and anointed you and given unto you a special anointing to minister to the sick. Now, see, this is something different. I had these manifestations of gifts of healing, word and knowledge before I ever had this. For years, as the Spirit wills, they'd come. They still come as the Spirit wills. But he said, and you know, Paul already had manifestations of gifts of healing, word of knowledge, and other manifestations in his ministry, and God wrought special miracles then. I'm glad God can do special things if he wants to. And he doesn't have to get the church together and have them to vote on it and see whether he can do it or not. Jesus is the head of the church. So he said, I've called thee and anointed thee and given unto thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. Now then he said to me, you tell the people exactly what I've told you. You tell them I appeared to you. You tell them you saw me. You tell them I laid the finger of my right hand upon each one of your hands. You tell them you feel the power in your hand. You tell them that the healing power is in your hands. And if they'll believe that, they'll believe that you are anointed. and they will receive that anointing. Then he said, that anointing will flow from your hands into their body and will drive out their sickness and their disease. Shall we stand, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, sometimes God will tell you exactly who he wants you to minister to, because he's a certain one, like this young man. He said, minister to that young man. That young man was the one that needed what I had. But sometimes God will not tell you just exactly who something's for, because sometimes others can be blessed by the same thing. It fits other cases. Just as I was getting ready to come to church tonight, in fact, before I come, while I was getting ready, while I was tying my necktie, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I want to pass the word on to you. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes and listen? Because it'll fit more than one and be of a special blessing. The word of the Lord said to me that they would... The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you're not willing to forgive yourself. And that's the reason that you're in a state where the enemy can take advantage of you and rob you of faith, is because you're not willing to forgive yourself. You know that you failed. You know that you sinned. But the Lord has declared that if you confess your sins, he's willing and faithful to forgive you, and just to forgive you, and willing to forgive you, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he has forgiven you and cleansed you, but you've not forgiven yourself. And so your heart is yet under condemnation, not because he's condemning you, because he's not condemning you. You are condemning yourself. Now bring your thinking in line with the word of the Lord, and rejoice, because the Lord has spoken unto you. He has forgiven you of your failure. He has forgiven you of your sin, and the past is all blotted out. For he declared that I will not remember thine iniquities. And he does not remember that you've done wrong, so why should you remember? Now rejoice and let your faith reach out and take hold of the blessings that belong to you, and your faith will now work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't condemn yourself anymore. More than one person needed that. God's trying to get through to one particular person, but like I said, more than one needs that. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's just lift our hands right now and acknowledge it's so, and thank God because it's so. Somebody said, is that for me? Well, if you need it, it's for you. If you need it, it's for you. Praise God. Thank him for it right now. Thank him for it right now. And settle the issue right now. Forgive yourself right now. He's forgiven you. Praise God. Forget about it. He said he'd forgiven you and forgotten it. Now you forget it. Because, you see, that'll hold you in bondage as long as you have the mental picture. As long as Satan can keep you thinking about your past faults and failures, he'll hold you in bondage. You just remind the devil when he comes of what Jesus said, of what the Bible said. Praise God, what the New Testament says. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now just hold steady a minute. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Before we begin to minister to others, there's somebody here the Lord wants me to minister to. First of all, for healing. And something's happened. I think I could miss it on this area because I didn't really hear this. I thought it. But something's happened, I think, is because of an injury to your left shoulder. And because of that injury, there's times that arm or hand, whole left, will just simply won't seem to work. It'll go dead on you, so to speak. If you got a hold of something, you just drop it. You get in a certain position about lifting that arm because of trouble, I'll put it that way. Yeah, that's it. I'd added the other myself. Because of the trouble in the shoulder. If you happen to lift up something, you know, just in a certain way, your hand will just drop it and that arm will drop down. It won't seem to work. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I'm going to minister to you first. Amen. Amen. And you know, hallelujah to Jesus. While God's moving, Well, God's moving. Come right on, sister. If there's someone with either shoulder, right or left, when the spirits are moving a certain direction, just get in the flow of it and you'll get results. But this was a specific case. That's the reason I mentioned it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Come right over here, sister. You were first. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive your healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed. Shoulder, arm, and everything.
Thank you, Lord.
That needs healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That's it, that's it, that's it, right there. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. Complete healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I don't care what the devil said, he's lying to her.
Yes, I know.
Satan, take your hand off of her. We demand our rights.
Oh,
take your hand off of God's property. Right now. Oppress her no more forever. Ha ha. Ha ha. Now, my sister, receive your healing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Thank you.
Well, that's it right there. 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 Thank him for it.
Thank
him for it.
Thank you.
Thank him for it. It's yours right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Stand right over here, sister. Praise God. Now, receive your healing right now. Shoulder, arms, from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it right there. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Come right over here.
Oh.
Sana yene kiatada bragia lakala sala farabeve kiakaliste kiatala mayatsi. Hallelujah. Stand right over here, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now receive your healing. From the top of your head to the soles. Yeah, that's it right there. Of your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Don't you love him? Praise God. Amen. Well, sing it again now. Only believe. That's the secret. Only believe. All things are possible.
Only
praise the Lord.
Believe.
If there are those from this section here that want hands laid on you for healing, come on right now.
Believe.
Amen.
Things
thank
are
you, Lord.
Possible. Only believe.
Amen. In this section here, if you want hands laid on you for healing, anyone in this section, come now.
Only
amen. This section here. If you're in this section right here, you want hands laid on you for healing, come right now. Come on, quickly as you can, please. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on. Amen. Amen. In this section here, if you want hands laid on you for healing tonight, come right now and stand here. Come on, right now. In this section here, over here or anywhere here, if you want hands laid on you for healing, come on right now. This is the last invitation. I'll not invite you to come anymore. In fact, if you do come, we won't even lay hands on you. If you're going to come, come on right now. Amen. If you're coming, come now, or else don't come, please. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we don't have a lot of room here. You can understand that. So we got this filled up. Don't stand behind anybody. They'll have to fall on you. Just stand over to one side.
Then when you can see that space is available in here, don't wait for somebody to tell you to come over and stand here then. Now, I'm not going to heal you. You understand that? Jesus is. Praise God. He's the head of the church. He's in the healing business. He's going to do it through me. And the way he does it through me is by the anointing that he gave to me. Tell them exactly, he said, what I told you. If they'll believe it and receive it, the anointing will flow from your hands into their body. Will drive out their sickness or disease, or will effect a healing or a cure in them. Praise God. Now receive your healing, sister. Receive your healing, brother. Receive your healing, sister. From the top of your head to the sole of your foot. The name, that's it right there. Receive your healing, sister. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be, that's it right there. Hallelujah. Receive your healing, sister, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now in the name of the Lord. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Receive your healing, sister, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Receive your healing, sister, from the top of your head to the soles of you. That's it, right there. Hallelujah. Receive your healing, sister. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We lay our hands upon this little one that she may become normal in every way, from the top of her head to the soles of the feet. By the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Receive your healing, sister. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Come right over this way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sing it again. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Think about what you're singing. Think about what you're singing. Don't stand where you'd fall on anybody. I won't pray for you there. Move right down that way just a little further. Move on. Move on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's enough. Don't go any further than that. Right here, this aisle, right here. Thank you, Lord. 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 Receive your healing, young man. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Step right down here. Receive your healing, sister. Ooh, hallelujah. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Receive your healing, brother. Yeah. Hallelujah. Step up here. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. Receive your healing. 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 Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, sing it again. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Sing it right out of your heart. Only believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All things are possible. Praise God. Each night, right on through the week, we'll minister each night to the sick by the laying on of hands. And many of you are believers. Let's see your hand. Well, as you go tonight, turn and shake hands with three people and say, I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. When you've shook hands with the third one, you can go.